Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show.
Hi, Rachel. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a podcaster, host of Higher Learning. I am a correspondent with Extra TV. I am about to release my second novel, or the second novel, my second book. Excuse me, who do I think I am? My first book was a nonfiction book, a book of essays. This is my first fiction novel, hopefully many more. I'm very excited about it. I'm a recovering lawyer. You know, that's what they say. I am a proud Texan, which go either way these days. And I'm an avid sports fan, particularly for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh my gosh, I love this. So first we need to talk about the podcast because you're an NFL podcast. So we want our podcast listeners to check out your podcast. So tell us all about it.
Yes, I do two podcasts. First off, I have to say, isn't podcasting the best thing ever? Oh, I love it so much. I never knew that I would. I love it. So I have Higher Learning with Van Lathan, and that is a podcast where we talk about everything from politics to current affairs to sports, entertainment, all of that in between, and how it intersects with Black culture. And then I have another podcast called Morally Corrupt that I do on the Ringer Network, where I have a deep love of housewives and all things that come on Bravo. And so we get into the nitty gritty with that, talk about the news of the week, and then we recap some of those shows. So I just love it. It's just such a liberating experience to podcast.
It is. I love podcasting for many reasons. One is I love audio. I love the way that you can convey the energy through audio, but also you can build a community, have listeners, you also connect with other people and have interesting conversations. So yeah. Speaking of audio, speaking of a podcast, we got to talk about the Bravo Universe, which is your top tier Bravo show.
Okay. I watch every single Housewives franchise.
Yeah.
So if I have to pick a favorite, I mean, Potomac is my favorite, even though this season was my least favorite, but I'm going to go with Potomac. And then I go with Jersey. Jersey is bringing it right now. Yeah. And I am doing every single episode. And Jersey just has a knack for bringing in new women, and they just seamlessly fit in. Mm-hmm. They a deep connection to the women prior. They know how to they're funny, they're witty. They're just they're like the quintessential housewives every single time they come on. So Potomac, then Jersey.
I love this. Yeah, I started Potomac from the beginning because I took a break from Bravo during 2016. And so I missed it. And so I went to start from the beginning, and it's such a journey. And I love that a lot of the OGs are still around. Yes. Which is kind of nice. It's just comforting. You're like, oh, you're still here.
Right. I know. I think about that often. I'm like, what would they do if they didn't do this? I think it just becomes a thing. I actually asked Teresa, do you think you'll leave anytime soon? Has it just become too much? We've seen you go through so much with your family. And she said, I started this. I'm going to finish it. And I think that's a lot of the OG mentality, which I appreciate.
That is for sure. So, thank you for indulging me in some Bravo conversations. I don't get to do that often in the podcast. I have that in my personal life. And so love when we can talk about Housewives because it's a great show. It's great TV just to watch,
The gift that keeps giving.
It is. All right. So you're a former attorney. Well, you're an attorney. You went to law school. Yes. So I talked to a lot of writers who also were attorney or went to law school and stuff like that. And so how did actually being an attorney help you with writing books, both nonfiction as well as fiction?
Yes. So it doesn't in the sense of the way that lawyers are trained to write. We use this formula called IRAC, yeah. Issues, Rules, Application, Conclusion. Ugh, can't even believe I remember that. And so that's the way you're trained to write in that way. You're trained to always spot the issue and go from there. It stifles your creativity. And mm-hmm. So I don't think the way we are trained to think helps me in real life as far as the jobs that I do and talking with people and asking certain questions, but it doesn't help in this regard of writing and being creative. And that was like one of my biggest complaints is I used to love creative writing in school. I used to dabble in, you know, writing a little poetry that I would never let anybody ever in my life read, but I enjoyed that. And that was a very fun time in my life. And I remember that feeling of just how free and creative I felt when I would explore that. And then you go to law school and you're like, become robotic. So it doesn't help, but I will say, maybe it has the opposite effect of because you're trained to think a certain way, you long for the other side of things. Mm-hmm. There's this desire to be creative and express yourself in that way. And I think the rebellion in you might help of not wanting to write in that box. It makes you want to write in a different way.
There we go. I love this. I love the fact that like it allows you to see like, you know, one way of looking at things and then being like, you know, like longing for that creativity to explore and to have that opportunity to just do it, you know, and have that freedom because you were so confined in one way of doing it. And then be like, no, let's throw those rules out and let's start actually putting it all together in a different space.
Yes, it's escapism. Yeah. And so I think that's what helped. Maybe so far from what we do with law, maybe that helps.
Yeah. And so you wrote a romance novel. So let's talk about Real Love. What is the elevator pitch and what led you to write it?
Okay. Real Love, I'm so obsessed with. It was an idea that I had when I finally decided that I was going to write a book of essays. I mm-hmm. thought about it for a couple of years. I didn't want to write initially when I came off the show. I just didn't feel like I needed more to talk about. I'm glad mm-hmm. I waited. But at the same time, I pitched what is now Real Love. That wasn't the title, wasn't the working title at all. But I wanted to, because I constantly think about the moment that I said yes to The Bachelor and how I was so looking for no's and how I really, really almost said no. And that yes has changed the entire trajectory of my life in the best way. Mm-hmm. But I almost didn't live this life. And I think of how I was feeling back in 2016 of being in this dead end relationship, looking for an escape. I was always staring out the window, mm-hmm. feeling like I did everything that I said I was going to do. I was with the guy who checked all the boxes, but I did not feel fulfilled. And I wondered how many other people probably feel that same way and are at that crossroads in that life or know someone who is. And so I wanted to write to that experience. I wanted to explore the life that I almost stayed in. And I'm doing that in this book through Maya, the protagonist in the book, which is loosely, extremely loosely based off me, although there are Easter eggs of my real life within it. But I wanted to explore the what if. And so I thought the fun way to do that was through this moment that I experienced in real life, but instead of saying yes, I say no. And my friend says yes. So I'm able to see both lives play out and see her, you know, step out on a whim and go against everything that she said she was going to do, because they're very similar, mm-hmm. the characters, Maya and Delilah, see her explore life in that way. But then me doing everything that I said I was going to do. I have this plan. I fit in this box per se, and I'm going to stick this out and see this through. And you see her struggle with that and things, that life plan seems to fall apart. And even in my book of essays, I wrote about my own life plan at particular ages in my life. And it is so different from the life that I'm living now. And I love that. And I think that this book will reach a lot of people and will be relatable, because if you haven't yet, at some point in your life, you're going to come to a crossroads where you're going to have to make a decision about the unknown. And you might be that type A person like a Maya or even a me who has to know how things are going to go. But at some point, you're going to have to make that decision on faith, on the unknown, trust your gut, you know, be fearless. And you see that happen in this book. And so I think it was just very fun to get to explore that. And fiction allows you to do it.
I love the fact, like, I read the book and I love the fact it was like this crossroad decision, this place where it's like, what if I do this? My life is going to look this way. What if I do this? My life is going to look this other way. And like, there's no right or wrong way to do it. I think it's just like an understanding that you just have to let life unfold and letting go of that type A mentality that I need to know my future. I need to know how I'm going to reach out this stuff and learning how to set boundaries and learn how to set, you know, getting, you know, grow into your own confidence and who you mm-hmm. are and your decisions. And that's what growing up looks like, you know. I yes. wish I could tell my younger self, like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out, you know?
Yes. Yes. And you don't have to do everything that you're told.
No.
That is a truth that Maya figures out later and, or, you know, has to deal with, that I too had to deal with. So mm-hmm. relate to yeah. her a lot.
Yeah, like learning how to, like, I think it's like, it's coming to yourself and understanding that your intuition, your deep down wisdom, inner wisdom will know the answers. Like, nobody can tell you how you're supposed to live your life. They can give you suggestions, but, you know, just because your parents want you to live this way, you can choose not to. And you're going to be fine no matter what. Like, no matter what, you're going to be fine, you yes. know.
So. Yes, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. So thank you for writing the story. Cause I think it's important to look for it, you know, because I think sometimes we look at fiction writing as like examples of like options, you know, when you're in this crossroad, yeah. what can I do? And you can look at like that character and be like, okay, like this is what unravel, you know, it can actually apply to me too.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm so glad you get it.
So Rachel, so let's talk some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read?
Not romance novels, to be very honest with you. But so to go back, I used to hate reading, mm-hmm. hated it. I'm a middle child. My older sister loved reading. My younger sister loved reading. I loved to play in like an imagination world. I remember it. Maybe up until an unhealthy age, like mm-hmm. play make-believe now that I'm thinking of it. But now I guess I'm doing that with writing. So it was always there, but I didn't like to read about it. I like to experience it in real life and play it out. I probably should have been an actress. My parents should have probably honed in on that. but I did read like the Goosebumps and the Nancy Drews. And then I stopped reading again. And then I think high school, when I really got into creative writing, I started to get back into reading, but I was reading like John Grisham and James Patterson books. Dan Brown. Oh my God. I went through a big Dan Brown phase that more seeped into college. So those are the type of books that I were more into, except for this book called The Coldest Winter Ever, which I was so into, and I'm still waiting for them to make that into a movie. Mm-hmm. The book that I am enjoying now, and it takes me forever to read a book these days, which is a more of a romance novel, women's fiction, is 7 Days in June
by Tila. Oh, so good. So good. I know.
I'm so slow. My sister this summer was reading the book and she's like, oh yeah, I already finished it. And I'm like, okay, well, it takes me a long time.
Yeah, I think that book is just the gold standard of like, you know, any second chance romance. You know, it has emotions, it has, you know, it has like someone at crossroads, someone who's like, you know, we got a short time period of time and we got to feel the history. And it's not an easy childhood. There's chronic illness, there's chronic, like there's a child who's like precocious, and it's just So good. Such a good show. Such a good book. So I hope you enjoy it and take your time. There's no rush. There's no like you have to finish by certain time. There's no need for you to compare and despair. Like there's no need for that. So
thank you.
So Rachel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.